All right, church, thanks for checking in. We're going to be finishing Joshua chapter 19 today. It's the territory, the inheritance given specifically to Joshua. Okay, Joshua is the leader of Israel. He is from the tribe of Ephraim, though, and so his specific property is going to be within the total borders of the tribe of Ephraim. Okay. So it says, verse 49, when they had finished distributing the several territories of the land as inheritances, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua the son of Nun. By command of the Lord, they gave him the city that he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, and he rebuilt the city and settled in it. It's a few things noteworthy here about this that we'll look at and kind of be quick through it. But it says that they gave him this territory by the command of the Lord, and that Joshua asked for it. So God himself apparently was involved in this, meaning Joshua wanted this particular area, Timnath-Serah, and God said, yes, make sure Joshua gets that. And the people of Israel recognized this and stuff. And so Joshua is last on this list. You see this. Every tribe is given their territories and then Joshua. And I don't know if whose idea that was, or that was God himself, or if that was Joshua, or what, or just as Joshua is writing the book of Joshua, he puts himself last. I'm not sure exactly. My guess is it's all of the above. Joshua is a humble leader, just as Moses was, and he wants all of Israel to get their land, and then he will settle in for his. Okay, that's the principle here. He is not conquering this land for himself, to make himself rich and famous and powerful. He is doing this under the hand of God himself, humbly, with humility. And that is the way to lead. That is the way to do things. You're not in it for what you get out of it. If Joshua is in this for what he got out of it, he would have sent the army to Jericho, the first city they hit, and said, great, this one's mine. Now you guys, you want something, you go get it yourselves or something. He would have taken care of himself first. Instead, he looks out for himself last. And God himself has commanded this as well. But God also is in Joshua's corner. He's like, you're going to get a specific spot. You're gonna get to pick it. There's a reward for Joshua's hard work, for his humble leadership. There's a reward for it. But you're not in it for the reward. You're in it for serving God. And let God do the blessing. All right? God gives you many blesseds, right? Read Matthew chapter 5, right? Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers, all right? There's many blessings from God. Great is your reward in heaven, he says repeatedly. Okay? There's rewards in heaven. Be excited about them. He promises them. But we also do it because we belong to God and we're humble under him. And we'll do it without the reward, right? But the incredible promise of God's blessings and God's rewards is a real promise. And that is something that you can hold out for. You can remember that when you're tempted to give in to in-your-face temptations. You can say, no, there's a greater reward. There's a greater reward. If I hold fast, God's reward is greater. I have to hold to it. I have to live by faith and not by sight. But it's there. I know it's there. And so God's rewards are real things. God's blessings are real things. He is faithful. And he will come through, if that's how you want to think of it. God is the real question is whether you will come through. God is already accomplished in God's sight. Okay. So you can see that with Joshua. Now, specifically, he's in the tribe of Ephraim, and he gets this territory called Timnath-Serah. It is near Mount Gash. And that is about all we know about it in terms of what the Bible says. It's repeated again in Joshua 24. It's repeated again in Judges, and that's it. And it's just kind of repeated, like that's where it was. Very little mention of this. In fact, the whole tribe of Ephraim itself is not even mentioned in the New Testament. There's a town called Ephraim that Jesus goes to in the book of John once. Just kind of mentioned in passing. Presumably, it would have been within the tribal allotment of the tribe of Ephraim. But look, this tribe is not a significant player, biblically speaking. There's Joshua, and then the rest is just kind of, you know, it's not a big deal. By the time the New Testament starts, it's gone. It's part of the 10 northern tribes, and they're gone. All right. for the most part. Now, we've seen others as we've looked at these tribal allotments that God always keeps a remnant. But Joshua and his household, they do not remain as kings. He doesn't. He wasn't the king in the first place, but he doesn't pass it on to his son who becomes king of Israel, and he doesn't. He's not in it for himself. Moses didn't pass it on to his sons either. Moses passed it to Joshua. Moses is from the tribe of Levi. Joshua's from the tribe of Ephraim. There's no relationship there. It's not that it would be bad if there were, but one of the clear points of what's happening here is that God is appointing the leaders. The leaders are not appointing themselves, and the leaders are not passing on their power and their name and their riches and their wealth and their authority to their family. They're not in it for themselves. Each generation is going to have to pursue God and choose God and honor God and be faithful to God of their own accord. Each generation is going to have to do this. Each generation is responsible for itself. Joshua, at the end, we'll see, says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." He has spiritual headship and authority over his house, and he's going to ensure that they are on the tracks to follow the Lord. But he's not saying, "As for me and my house, we will reign as kings of Israel because you owe it to us because we have all this power." That is not the way of God. That is not the way of God's people. God's anointed leaders, look at them. They're humble. Moses, Joshua, David gets in trouble when he uses his authority for himself. And then, of course, Jesus himself did not come to be served. He came to serve. He came to give himself up for others. Joshua gives himself up. He leads Israel all the way. And then he's last in line to get his inheritance. Moses led Israel out of Egypt, led him through the wilderness, never even got an inheritance. Okay? And then the fact that Joshua's location here is a very insignificant place biblically. In Joshua 24, it says they bury him there. So where it's his inheritance and he's buried there. Well, it's not quite the same as Moses, but Moses was, God himself buried Moses, and nobody knows where, and you'll never find the grave of Moses. Now, Joshua's grave, there's a few historic spots that will say, "Hey, pay $5 and we'll let you see Joshua's grave." And there's a few different spots generally in the right geographic area, but nobody really knows that either. And whether they do or not, even if one of them is right and they do have a marker there and it's an accurate one, which we don't know for sure if it would be. But even if they do, biblically speaking, that location does not turn into holy ground. It does not turn into a shrine of Joshua worship or some sort of cult or something. It's an insignificant place. He lived. He served the Lord faithfully in his time. He did what he knew how to do under God, and he did it and praised the Lord. But we don't do hero worship, right? We learn from him, we study him, we say, "Wow, what a courageous man under God. What a faithful man. He was careful to obey all that God commanded him." We can learn from this. But he himself doesn't carry anything special, okay? Now, the specific area that this is in, it's within the tribal borders of Ephraim. It says it's near Mount Gash, and it's called Timnath-Serah. And then in Judges, it's called Timnath-Herah. Heris, but it's clearly the same place. It must have just had you just switch the S to the end and the H to the beginning. It's the same place. Just kind of might have had a new nickname or something like that. But it means the same thing. It means the location or the allotment of the sun. That's what it means. And there's an indication that it might be sun worship. All right. Now, Joshua clearly wouldn't have been part of that, but that's what the place was named. It was named a place of sun worship, or the allotment, the portion of sun worship. Joshua tore it down, it says, and rebuilt it. he rebuilt the city and settled there. So he's rebuilding it. He's rebranding it. It's no longer sun worship anymore. It seems clear to me. But there's a few places in the Bible that are just called Timnah or Timnath. And it's possible that this is all the same place. Timnah or Timnath just means, it means location. It means a portion or an allotment of space. So Timnath-Serah means the portion or the allotment of Sira. Sira means sun and possibly sun worship. So when you see a town just called Timna or Timnath, all that means is location, allotment, space or something. There's a place in the book of Genesis where Judah, the man, and not the tribe, the man Judah, goes down to Timna. Samson, the one of the judges of Israel, goes down to Timna. Both times, Timna, when Judah does it in Genesis and when Samson does it in Judges, towards the end of Judges, we're talking centuries apart. But both times, when they go down to Timna, they get into trouble with sexual sin. Both times. I don't know if there's a connotation there. It's unclear. Samson was from the tribe of Dan. Joshua here, his Timna Sira is in the allotment of Ephraim. When Judah, the man in Genesis, went to Timna, there seems to be it seems to be south, which might take it down into the territory of Judah. It's hard to say if this is all the same place or not. When Samson goes there, there's Philistines there. We know Philistines lived in the south. And when Joshua is here, it looks like Joshua might be farther north. So they may not be the same place, but it is possible they're the same place because Joshua's Timnath Sira is on the south end. If we can figure out where Mount Gash is, which even that's a little bit debatable, but it seems like this location where Joshua is in the south end of the total land of Ephraim, which would put it right up against Dan, which is where Samson's from, which would also put it very close to the northern border of Judah, which it's possible they're all one place. I don't know. That is a little bit of speculation. But if you see that name Timnath or Timna sometimes in the Bible, or a Timnite is somebody from Timna, there's a few different connotations with that. But it seems like, other than Joshua, it seems like most places called Timna are associated with something bad. Sexual sin with Samson. Sexual sin with Judah, and possibly sun worship before Joshua destroyed it. And so Samson, of course, was after Joshua. So if we're talking about the same location, then over time the Philistines must have taken it over because he falls in love with the Philistine woman there. In any case, a little bit of that speculation, we don't know for sure, but you can certainly learn from this. Joshua goes last. The real leader goes last. The real leader says, I'm not in it for me. I'm in it to serve God. I'm in it for God's people and God's kingdom, and so on. So I hope that adds up for you. We'll get into chapter 20 tomorrow. That is the cities of refuge, which are a fascinating principle of justice, something that I think gets misused often in our modern day sanctuary cities. But there's a principle in place here in Joshua 20 that's interesting that we'll study next time. All right, God bless you.